Amendment, agenda item number six, that is the 2023 Order 4, Community Reporting Dashboards. Dr. Jamulski, Lauren Hubbard, and Savannah Edison.
Knock a couple of those out here. As we've done in the past, I'll just a couple of highlights and updates that I want. One of them is with the CARS quarterly report. We did actually, after the last body committee meeting, started a small work group that's going to do an in-depth investigation of some of the discrepancies in terms of spend between black and white clients that we have several years now. And so that's going to be an ongoing investigation where we're really going to be starting with, you know, for example, which programs and CARS appear to have the largest discrepancy, and then are within those programs, are there any larger discrepancies than others? No value judgments associated with that right now. We know there's a discrepancy. We don't know what to make of it yet. There is a small work group. It's a collaboration between Jen Whitwer, my team, and then some folks from the fiscal department to really dig into that. So the more we learn, the more I hope we can share with the group to try to better understand that discrepancy. But again, it's early days right now. We'll back into it and discuss the methodology we want to use to conduct that investigation. So stay tuned on that one. And then also speak briefly to the DHS-wide adult services dashboard. At the next version of that we intend to release, we are doing some underlying work, part of our effort in revising that dashboard and trying to look at all the different front doors for adult services for DHS, has been, in that process, we've uncovered some minor technical issues with our enrollment table that we created, and so we're in the process of cleaning that up so that we have more accurate enrollment. We know everybody that's enrolled, but just the start dates of some of those enrollments and end dates are a little bit off. So we're working on cleaning that up. At the next version of that dashboard, where are folks coming from in the community? What are our major front doors? And that, I think, will be really valuable for us to get a better sense of how people are first starting to access DHS services. We also intend in future DHS-wide, the CARS quarterly, we're actually going to start expanding the time so that we'll be able to kind of look at the volume of people served, for example, in the last four quarters, but then we'll be able to compare it to also four quarters of data at the same time last year so that we'll be able to look at change over time. We have that on a couple of the dashboards right now. So, for example, the community crisis dashboard has 3 years of data by zip code, which is really kind of cool to look at. And so we'll be doing that with some item two so that we'll have a longer comparison time frame. Another thing that I guess I'll just say is an intent. I don't think this will necessarily be for the fall meeting, but sometime within the next night to unpack the community crisis dashboard into two separate dashboards. One would be sort of community mobile crisis and then community outpatient, because right now, because it's all they're all within the crisis department, we bundle that together, but we'd like to separate that out just because of the types of services they provide, and I think it will be probably a little bit more illustrative to not lump them together, given how similar some of the things that they are that they do are, but also how different some of those things are as well. So those are some of the major updates I have, and I can ask for questions, and then I can also turn it over to Lauren Hubbard, unless who I know might have some updates about the community crisis dashboard.
Dr. Jamulski, I have a question regarding the staff quality of life portion of the report. Was there a work group addressing this last year, and has it changed names? Or is this the
It's called the Workforce Challenges Work Group, and it's actually, although the data that you are looking at is data that is specific. specific to CARD staff, so all VHS employees. The work group, which is actually chaired by Jen Whitwer, is also looking at staff turnover issues within our network. So it's a broader, the work group has sort of a broader purview than just CARD staff.
Thank you, that answers my question. Yes, Denise.
Yeah, I guess, Matt, so great job. Thank you for, what's so important is this comparison, like, are we making a difference, and how are we closing the gap in health in Milwaukee County? And so, one of the things that we talked a lot about at our last board meeting is, as we approve new services, we're listening to the public, like, what do they need, what are they saying that we're maybe not hitting the mark on services, what are they feeling, and then what is our data telling us? So when we look at all these numbers, like, do you see some wild, like, screaming gaps, like, hey, like, why isn't the mental health board paying attention to this? Because I feel like we're getting there, so in peer support, and, you know, we talked a lot about our, we're going to talk more about our children, but this helps guide us on how well we're doing in serving the different demographics in our population, zip codes, and then are we putting the money where we should be relative to improving the quality of life, length of life?
You know, there's like screaming gaps. No, nothing jumps out at me as something that is, you know, sort of glaringly obvious. There are a number of social determinants of health services that I think CARS, you know, sort of is primarily going to be providing those services. I think they're looking to expand. I mean, they've already expanded the number of short-term housing options, and housing, as we know, is a huge area of need. They're trying to expand IPS-supported employment. I know that there's been a push to expand support services, so I think that some of the areas of the system is trying to be responsive to some of these identified needs. And with regards to the assessment of SDOHs, now have with our new PPS form, we haven't really sat down, and in some ways the purpose of the quality committee, but I we don't have a ton of data yet on that. We've only got about 1 year of it, so but we haven't really sat down and combed through it and said, well, what is this telling us in terms of the mismatch or match between what we provide versus what we see the needs are? But I think that's a great idea. Should do that. I guess the other thing, at least in the research that we have been doing, that I would suggest is that when I look at some of these gaps, what it also strikes me of is that the need for continued collaboration with the rest of DHHS and private partnerships as well, because many of these things are things that just by virtue of our scope, we can't ourselves. So when I look at some of these needs that exist, you know, the idea of a public health model approach to a lot of this keeps coming to mind, because even if I identify, doesn't necessarily mean that DHS is in a position to address that by itself. You know, there's some things we can do with regards to housing, but, you know, mortgage lending practices and things like that, those are outside of our scope. They're still valuable, they're still needed, but I think there's a larger sort of system, county-level approach to address some of these things that I think requires us to monitor and requires us to collaborate, but doesn't necessarily mean that we should be then kind of adding that service line if it's outside the scope of what behavioral health service is supposed to do. That makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. So I'm just trying to connect the dots, make sure that if we're using this data in our a bigger picture, and then I'm super excited about the new crisis beds, and, you know, I think continuing to look at things like that we're investing into, like, so how does that help, you know, move the needle?
I mean, I think it will all be valuable, but even when we think about, like, housing, there's a housing continuum, right, in terms of sort of stably housed to unstably housed to homeless and sort of different types of housing services you provide across. And, you know, I think what I hope is that we use this data to then look and say, what can we do? And then with whom do we need to partner to really try to address the entire continuum of services required for this issue?
Any other questions? Well, my apologies, I am back, I think.
Would you like me, Lucy? Are you still there?
Are folks able to hear me? Oh, yes, I can. And are we moving on to our next agenda item? Yes. Or have we moved past?
Have we moved past cars?
Cars and
yes.
They're all VHS-wide. I don't know if Lauren Hubbard has anything to say about the community crisis.
The chess there is on.
I can jump real quick, Lucy. I don't know if you can hear me. Good morning, Madam Chair and committee members. Lauren Hubbard, Director of Community Crisis, just to give a quick overview of...
I have no sound. Sorry.
Okay.
I see everyone, but I can't hear anything.
I'll share my screen real quick just for reference. For the recorded part of Community Crisis Dashboard, which is in your packets. So the information displayed throughout this is collective of all of the Community Crisis Services. As Dr. Jamoski referenced earlier, the front page does show the 3-year tracking of the unique clients that are served throughout Crisis Services. And you see in the upper left corner that the client side for quarter four of last year does see a slight uptick from previous quarters. Between 2022 and 2023, Crisis Services did see an 11% increase in the number of unique clients that were served. And that largest increase was recognized in 3 zip codes, 53205, 53212, and 53204. On the fourth page, the last page of the Community Crisis Dashboard, it does break out this data table by quarter so that you can see that quarter change for each specific area. Page 2 recognizes the client experience survey scores. Currently, throughout Crisis Service, we collect these scores for CLASS, Community Linkage and Stabilization Program, as well as the Office of Consumer Affairs. These scores have been some fluctuation as the number of clients being served in responses has changed throughout the last several quarters, and this is on a 5-point scale. And then the final page of information shows the Columbia Suicide Rating Scale that is currently being used throughout several crisis services, but the data collected here is represented by the various access clinics, as well as Team Connect when it was under operation for the first half of last year. The information for individuals endorsing suicide ideation at their initial and last assessments declined between 88% and 96% over the last 4 quarters, and then suicide attempt behaviors had a decrease of 46% to 64% for the last 4 quarters. I think of all the things on the dashboard that are important, this is really a really nice visual of the important impact that the clinical services that Crisis Services provides is having upon the clients that they're supporting. And again, page 4 of this is just that breakdown per quarter of the unique client centers that shows the increase and decrease over the last 3 years. That's to answer any questions.
But Laura, I do have a question. A zip code 53205. That appears to be still number one in responses, 544 for 2003. There was a dip in 22 from 21. This is the connection I'm trying to draw, if there is a connection, with the responses to that zip code. How is MHEC handling those that need full support?
That is a really great question, Madam Chair, that I'm not sure I'm the best one to answer. Just in that this is reflective of the community services that WDHS is providing. I know that the Home Crisis Team does receive regular referrals from MHEC for individuals that are discharging back into the community, so that all of the services to help work and connect them through our networks. But I see Dr. Schneider is here. Hopefully, you can address that.
Good morning, Dr. Schneider.
so there's a connection, and certainly there's an association in the data. Law enforcement calls, et cetera, et cetera. There are a bunch of inputs that go in. It's a different set. Venn diagram has a lot of overlap with engine performance. They're not 100% the same. I think the other challenge would be still seeing if we look at pretty stable trends, slightly down across a decade, but otherwise kind of flat. Like total volume is the same, which were emergency CIs. But when we hit that change at app and service and access, because of other people asking, right? And we're coming out of that. I'm not even sure that it's not just sort of a reaction to coming out of the pandemic yet. I think good other data would help, because then we may be able to say there is a link. I'm sure there's a link.
Because thank you, Dr. Snyder, for sharing that with me. Thank you. Any other questions from the committee? All right, thank you very much. Great information. Steve?
I think Lucy might not have a connection, but we can, Savannah is with us today to talk about the bullet D of the BHS KPI report.
Thank you very much. Share my screen.
Good morning.
Right. So I'm reporting on Children's Community Mental Health Services in Ralph, Milwaukee, report 4. So for quarter 4, for unique youth served, it was a little over 1,300, and then for the end of 23, it was a little over 1,800. I just want to point out that sometimes youth disenroll and re-enroll, or might enroll in a program under our service umbrella, so they are not counted, like this one youth, even if they disenroll and re-enroll, or re-enroll their program. So that's the youth served for this year. The average cost per youth for quarter 4 for wraparound was a little over $5,000, reached $2,500 in CCS 2,289. This is based on service utilization per month within that quarter. For population health, for quarter 4, we had 18 youth from in-home to out-of-home. Our average for 2023 is 19, and we have a goal of 30 or less per quarter, so we're doing really well on that. For natural supports, we have per quarter 4, 20% for wraparound, 15% in reach, and 8% in CCS. Our average for 2023 is 15%. So this is natural supports on youth and family teams. Our goal is 40% or higher, and I know last time we chatted a little bit about this metric. We did implement a new tool to help identify and engage natural supports, so that has been started for 2024, but we don't have any information or data on that yet, so when we report our next metrics, we should see some increases for that as well. Outcomes, permanency at discharge is 79%, average for 80%, and our goal was 75% or higher on that. Family satisfaction averaged 4.6 for this quarter. For the whole year, for 2023, it's 4.5, and we have a goal of 4.0 or higher. So, again, doing well on that, overall satisfaction. And then underneath, the youth and caregiver perceptions. So those are the average scores for this quarter. Overall average score for 2023 is 3.9, and we have a goal of 4.0 or higher, so really close to meeting that. And then discharge outcomes. For wraparound, we have 39 discharges this quarter, reached 60 in CCS 61. And then ends for discharge for each program. So corrections or long-term placement. Eligibility ended, so that's if they move county or other reasons. Loss of contact. Other, if they completed the program. Services no longer desired. And then transferred within our system of care or our program. That's all that I have. Any questions?
My own clarification, the last point, transferred within SOC or other programs, Can you explain that a little bit more for me?
So if a youth is enrolled in our wraparound program, but they transfer to CCS, that would be one of those. Or if they go to the adult programs, so if they age out of our system of care and move to the adult side, then that would be transferred.
That would be, thank you very much.
This lapse is no longer desire. Is that I'm nervous anymore, or
yes, I actually did a little bit of a deep dive into this previously, so we could kind of get a better understanding of what that means. So service is no longer desired. There's a whole spectrum of reasons that this might be selected. It could be they want the program, but the timing's not right, so they want to wait. It could be like there are other things going on with their family, and this isn't, the requirements might not meet their family's needs at this point. So there's a whole lot of reasons why they might not desire services anymore, whether it be timing, program requirements, there's a specific therapist that they want to see, but are not in our network or something. There's lots of different reasons for that, but that's kind of a snapshot of what some of them could be.
I'd like to look more into that, and maybe to have some separate data just on that alone. Speaking to our services are no longer desired. You know, services is not good for them or what. So just look, thank you very much for explaining that.
Questions? Well, but thank you very much for clarifying. That was important for me.
Absolutely, thank you.
For that. It's trying to log in through